Thank you, Laura and Lindley and Ronnie. We need some good news, don't we? And the good news that we do have is that Christ has come and Christ is coming again. And that is the heart of the Advent season. Christmas or Advent is a season when we celebrate God sending His Son to this earth, sending Him to be our Savior. In His great love for us, God acted to rescue us from our brokenness and our sin. He acted to bring us back into His family. He acted through Christ to restore us to who we were intended to be, His children. And Christ, the Word, became flesh, and He made His home among us as humans. People who were made in the image of God, but had lost the beauty and the wholeness of the divine image, Jesus came and took our humanity upon Himself so that we might be reconciled to God. Something deep within us, I think something deep within every person on this planet, knows that there is something that is missing. And yet we can't make ourselves what we should be. We can't find that which is missing. We can't climb up a heavenly or a celestial ladder to reach God. We can't pay for our own sins and failures by trying harder to be good. We cannot do enough to reconcile ourselves to the God who is holy and just. And truth be told, God doesn't want us to try our hardest to be reconciled to Him. God doesn't work that way. In fact, He is the one who takes the initiative to reach out to us. He's the one that seeks us and finds us. And the story of Jesus' birth is just that story. God coming to earth in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ, and coming for us to bring us back to Himself. Our problem as human beings, our greatest problem, is a problem that can never be solved by a philosopher or an intellectual or a politician. Because our greatest problem as human beings is of being separated from the God who loves us. And what we need is not a politician or an intellectual or a philosopher. What we need is a Savior. And Jesus Christ is our Savior, and that is reason for great joy. He delivers us. He rescues us from danger. We were in danger of spending eternity separated from the God who loves us, but Christ rescued us by becoming one of us to take on Himself our humanity, our brokenness, our sinfulness, and to give His life for us. He is the one who brings us out of darkness into light. He is the one who redeems us. He sets us free from our bondage to sin and self-centeredness. And in a sense, He buys back our freedom by giving His life in our place. He has forgiven us. He has sent away our sins. He has canceled our debt by taking our sin on Himself. That's what Jesus did for us. And He is the one, this Savior, He is the one who reconciles us to the eternal Father who loves us. He bridges the gap. He mediates between God and us, because on our own, we can do nothing to earn God's favor or to earn His love or to earn His mercy. Jesus is the one who reconciles us to the Father. He is the one who bridges the gap. He is the one who mediates between God and us. So the story that we celebrate during the Advent season is a story of the God who loves the world, and it's the story of the Son that He gave, who bridges the gap between God and us. He is the mediator. He is the one who reconciles us with the Father who loves us. God sent His Son, and the name given Him was Jesus. And that name means Savior, the one who saves. He was also known as Emmanuel. That's one of my favorite titles that's given to Christ, because it means God with us. And when this little infant was born in a manger in Bethlehem, he was God with us, even in his infancy. And in the person of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, the Son of God, came to this earth. And he would be the one who would bridge the gap between a holy God and sinful men and women. He would be a mediator, because he was the one who in one person was both fully God and fully human. And so he could bridge that gap. That's hard for us to fathom and understand, but Christ came down, the Son of God came down and took upon himself earthly form, and he became human so that he could identify with us, so that he could suffer with us and for us, but ultimately so he could give his life to be the one who reconciles us to the Father. Now there's a great verse in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 through 6. We don't actually see the term mediator very many places in Scripture, but this is one of the key and important places. And the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, and he said, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all," which means he paid the price for our sin, "which is the testimony given at the proper time." So there's one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, and that mediator is Christ Jesus. Now, it's interesting that Paul in that passage stresses the humanity of Jesus. And he says there's Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, the man Christ Jesus. Now, you could misinterpret that and say, well, that means that Jesus was only a man. And that's not what Paul is saying, because all through his writing, and we see that Paul affirms that Jesus was divine, that he was the Son of God, that he was one with God, that he was co-equal with God. Over and over again, Paul affirmed the truth that Jesus is truly God. But what he's saying here is that to be our mediator, he was a man, Christ Jesus, and he gave himself for us so that we could be brought back with the God who loves us. To be an effective mediator, Jesus Christ had to be truly God and truly man. A mediator is someone who, in a sense you could say, is a go-between, who represents the interest of both parties. What does a mediator do? Well, we see mediators in things like foster care cases, where somebody mediates between the birth family or the birth mother and the adoptive parents. We see mediators in court cases. We see mediators in business conflict. And in the broad sense of it, a mediator is someone who represents two parties and who facilitates communication to bring resolution to a dispute or to a problem. So a mediator serves to reconcile differences, to restore a relationship. And in the biblical sense, in the picture of Jesus as a mediator, he is a mediator who is the one who intervenes to bring reconciliation between us, lost, fallen, broken people, and a God who is holy and perfect and who loves us. And that's why God sent his Son Jesus. Now, we get a good picture of Christ as our mediator in the book of Colossians, the first chapter. So I'd invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me in the New Testament, or turn in your Bible app to Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to be reading verses 15 down through verse 22. And this is a beautiful picture of Jesus. And Paul is writing here about the supremacy of Christ as God's Son. So when he starts off in verse 15 saying, "He is the image of the invisible God," he's talking about Jesus Christ. He's talking about Christ. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." This is talking about Christ. "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. So when Jesus was here on earth in bodily form, all of God's fullness, all of his divinity dwelled in him. And through him, to reconcile, so through Christ, God was working to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God, that's the before, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free of accusation. That's the after picture. So I want to just show you five things from this passage that will help us understand why we have reason for great joy, but in particular to see the picture that we have of Jesus Christ as our mediator, the one who brings us to the Father. And the first thing that we see in this passage, and I think this is one of the most awesome passages in the New Testament, we see that Jesus Christ the Son is the image of the invisible God. So if you want to see what, if you want to know what God is like, you look at Jesus. Now, it's interesting that that word image in the Greek language is the word icon. What do you have on your tablet or your cell phone? If you got your phone open to the front page, I don't know if you have a front page of a phone, but when you open it up, what are all those little things on your phone? They're icons. And so if you touch the icon for Gmail, it takes you to Gmail. The icon is a representation of what's, in a sense you could say, is behind it. It's an image or a representation of the app that you have or whatever. And so through church history, there was often reference to things that were icons or reflections of God. And when we talk about, when Paul talks about Jesus is the image of the invisible God, what he is saying is that he, Jesus in his earthly form, Jesus Christ in his earthly form, is the perfect manifestation of God. To see what God is like, we look at Jesus. He perfectly represents God to us in a form that we can see and know and understand because we read the narrative of his life in the Gospels. Now, in Paul's day, he was writing to both a Jewish culture and a Greek culture. And they had distinct lines of thought. And in Jewish thought, wisdom was one of the most important things for them. And wisdom was personified in their mind as being equal or a co-creator with God. So God was the Father who created all things, but they talked about wisdom in a personal way, the wisdom being a being or an entity. And we know from Scripture that wisdom is Christ. Christ is the wisdom of God. So in Jewish thought, in addition to the God, the creator and the ruler of all things, they saw wisdom as being personified as equal with the creator God. In Greek thought, the term they used was logos, which translated into our English language is the word. And we saw last week when we had communion that John refers to Jesus as the word who was made flesh, the word who was with God in the beginning, the word through whom everything was created. So in Greek thought, Logos was the word or the reason of God, and that Logos is Christ. But both Jewish writers and Greek writers, they used that term icon in their writings to refer to wisdom and Logos, or wisdom and knowledge, or wisdom in the mind of God. And so what Paul was saying when he says that Jesus Christ the Son is the image or the icon of the invisible God, he's saying to the Jews, Jesus Christ is wisdom personified. Everything the Old Testament Scripture says about wisdom is found in Christ. Jesus Christ is the icon of God or the image of God. And what Paul was saying to the Greeks of his day was this: the reason, the mind, the word, the logic, the logos of God, the one that you call God's icon or image, is Jesus Christ. Christ is the icon or the image of God. And so it's interesting because when you go back to the very beginning of the Bible, you see that God said, let us make man in our image. And you notice the plurality of that language. God, let us Father, Son, and Spirit. Let us make man in our image. So God created man in his own image. We as human beings were made to be nothing less than the icon or the image of God. We were to be a reflection of God on this earth that he created. And that is what we were meant to be. A reflection of the image of God. But sin came into the world and it marred that image. And so while in many ways we still reflect the image of God in the fact that we are creative, that we can think, that we can reason, that we can love, all of those things are reflection of the image of God. We also know the brokenness of humanity and the sinfulness of humanity, that that image of God has been marred and ruined by man's rebellion against God. That is what we were meant to be, was in the likeness of the image of God. So you look at Jesus, and what we find is that he shows us not only who God is, he is the perfect image of God, but he has come down and taken on himself human form. So he's not only showing us who God is, he's showing us what we were meant to be. Jesus was the perfect reflection or manifestation of God, but he was also the perfect manifestation of humanity or humanness as God intended us to be. So if we want to know what God intends for us to be and what he's in the process of making us to be and what we will ultimately be when we are glorified and resurrected and in heaven, you look at Jesus and we see who we should be. The icon or the image was a portrait. Jesus was a portrait of God. It's equivalent to our word photograph. Jesus is the portrait of God. The image of the invisible God. If you want to see what God is like, look at Jesus. Read the scriptures of Jesus. The second thing I want us to see in this passage is that Jesus is at the center of the universe. He is the creator and the sustainer of all things. In verses 16 and 17, we see this. And what you're going to see here is it's all building to this point that we'll get to where he is the mediator. He is the one who reconciles us to the Father. Jesus is the center of the universe. He existed before creation. And that title, firstborn, doesn't mean that he was born in the sense of the way we are. He was when he came to this earth. But he's talking about the fact that a firstborn was the one who was before everything else, had all of the authority and the rights and the privileges of the Father. So when Paul says that Jesus is the firstborn, he's saying that he is of first importance. He has supremacy over everything else. Before everything else, there is Christ. Christ is the one who created all things. Through he being the spoken word of God, he created all things. And if you look at the Genesis narrative, what does it say? God said, let there be light. God said, God said, God said. And Christ, the Word, is the one who is involved in creation. He existed before all things. Everything exists in him, for him, and through him. This means that Jesus Christ is not only the agent of creation in the beginning, not only is he the goal or the ultimate end of creation in this world, but between the beginning and the end of human history, during time as we know it, he is the one who holds the world together. Now, we might look at our world today and say that it's falling apart. But if Christ were not upholding his creation, we wouldn't even be here today. How do we have a vaccine in 11 months? I'd suggest it's not just our human ingenuity. I think it's the wisdom of God at work. It's God working in us. He is still working. He is the one who holds this world together. He is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the one who was and who is to come. He is the center of the universe, the creator and sustainer of all things. Then the third thing we see in this passage, if you go down to verse 18, is that Jesus Christ is first in all things. I mean, and we use the word preeminence, which means of most importance. He is first in all things. He is the beginning and the head of the church. We are the body of Christ, Scripture talks about. We're not just a group of people who meet in a place and sing some songs and hear some guy stand up and talk. We are the body of Christ. He indwells us through His Spirit, not just here, but in every place that believers are gathered together. The church around the world is the body of Christ. He is the beginning and the head of the church. He is the source of the resurrection. We have hope of eternal life because He was resurrected from the dead. And Scripture often talks about the fact that He was the first fruits of the resurrection, which means that we follow, we have the hope of resurrection because He was brought back to life. He has supremacy or first place in all things. So when you think about Jesus Christ, you need to think King, Ruler, Lord, the first, the last, the beginning, the end, the center of all things. Christ is all in all. Christ is Lord of all. So we're seeing this majestic picture of Jesus Christ that is painted here by the Apostle Paul. He's the Son of God, the image of the invisible God. He's the center of the universe, the creator and sustainer of everything. He is the first in all things. And then the fourth thing we see is that Jesus is the fullness of God. If you look at verse 19 in that passage, it says, "For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him." Jesus represented the fullness of God, the completeness. He's not just a sketch to tell us a little bit about God. In Jesus Christ, nothing is left out. He is the full revelation of God, and nothing else is necessary. We don't need some angels to tell us some additional messages. We don't need some philosopher to say, well, in addition to what Scripture reveals, you know, we need to think about these things. Everything we need to know about our relationship with God, about our eternity in heaven, everything we need to know is found and revealed through Christ. He is the sum total of all divine power. He is a perfect reflection of all of the attributes and characteristics of God. All of those things resided in Christ. He is the fullness of God in human form. The fullness of God dwells in Christ. And that word dwells means to be at home permanently. So when Jesus was here on this earth, the fullness of God dwelt in Him. That's why some people had such a hard time handling the things that He said. And that's why they couldn't refute Him and they couldn't truly argue against Him. And they couldn't wrap their minds around the fact that He claimed to be the one who is the I Am, the one who is eternally existent, the one who is one with the Father. But all of that builds to this fifth point, which is really the heart of what I want us to think about in terms of the Christian or the Christmas message, the heart of the Christmas story, but also about how we are to live as followers of Christ. And we see that in this passage that Jesus reconciles all things to God the Father. God is working through Jesus to reconcile us to Himself. Really, the whole story of the Bible, ever since Adam and Eve rebelled against God and turned wanting just their own desires, and they wanted to be like God and they sinned against God. Ever since that, the whole story of the Bible is about God going to great lengths to restore people into a relationship with Him. It doesn't just start in the New Testament. You look all the way back through the Old Testament, and the narrative is God is working to restore humanity to Himself. The story of the Bible is a story about God seeking out lost people. It's a story about God going to great lengths to bring us back home. I mean, that blows me away to think that God would love me so much that He would go to such great lengths to bring me back home, that I have a hope that transcends the 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years I might have on this present earth. Jesus reconciles all things to the Father. I think we're all probably self-aware enough to know that we cannot do anything on our own to bridge the gap that separates sinful people from a holy God. We can't. We can't build a stairway to heaven. We can't do enough good deeds to outweigh the sinful things in our life. We can't do anything on our own to bridge the gap that separates us sinful people from a holy God. And every religion in the world, including, sadly, at times, Christianity, every religion in the world tends to focus on, here's what we need to do. Here's what we need to do. Here's what we need to do. Here's these lists of things we need to do in order to somehow reach God. And yet we find that Jesus, our mediator, is the one who bridges the gap for us that separates us from God. How, when you think about it, how can a holy, perfect, righteous God ever be reconciled with sinful, broken people? And yet, God acts to reconcile us. If there is ever going to be reconciliation between God and us, the initiative and the action has to come from God. It is in Christ that we are reconciled to God. It is through His death that we have peace with God. Jesus Christ is our mediator. He is the perfect mediator. Jesus was God in human flesh. When He died on the cross, He met the demands of justice. He paid the price for our sins, and He opened a way back to the Father. And I'm sure you know it already, or maybe you haven't thought about this, but at the story of Jesus' crucifixion, in the moment on the cross when He dies, the veil, the heavy curtain that separated the rest of the temple from the Holy of Holies, where God's presence was, that curtain, that veil, split from the top to the bottom all the way down. A way was opened into God's presence. That was what that symbolized. Through Christ, there was a way that was opened to God's presence. And we don't have to offer sacrifices anymore. In fact, there's nothing we can do. There's no amount of good works or sacrifices or efforts that we can do to somehow open up that way and get back to God. It's God through Christ who is the one who is acting, and He's constantly reaching out to us, and He's drawing us to Himself. Jesus was the mediator who opened the way back to the Father. And the story of the Bible is that God's kingdom will come, and all things will be made right, and everything in creation will be restored to its original intent and set right, and Christ will be the one who reigns over all. The whole universe will be reconciled to God. All things in heaven and on earth, Paul says in this passage. Everything will be made right and restored to be perfect, complete, and whole, and Christ is the mediator, the one who reconciles us to the Father. Now I want to close with this, and you'll see the scripture here on projected, and you should see it online from home. You know, we all are part of the story of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 20, this is what we read. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, or we are a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ. So that's what God has done for us. He's reconciled us to Himself through Christ. And listen to this. And He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Think about that. As followers of Christ, we are called to a ministry of reconciliation. Here's how God makes His appeal today to a fallen, sinful, wounded, broken world. Here's how God reaches out to those who need to be brought into His family. He does it through us. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors. We are peacemakers. We are mediators, entrusted with the calling of helping bringing people to reconciliation with God. And might I suggest, also given the calling of bringing reconciliation with others through Christ, who is our mediator. As we close this morning, I want to say to you and those of you who are watching online, if you find yourself sitting here today or sitting in your home today and say, you know, I feel so far away and so distant from God, I don't know that I've ever really belonged to Him. And you may think, you know, I've been trying to do all these good things, and I've been going to church some, and I've been reading some, but I just can't find that joy in my heart. I can't find that peace. I don't have hope. Well, let me tell you today that Jesus Christ is the one who, through faith in Him, will reconcile you and bring you back to the Father. He is the one who was the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ. And so His title of Christ goes clear back into the Hebrew Scriptures. The Anointed One, the Messiah, the Promised One, He is Christ. And if you put your faith in Him, He reconciles you to the Father. If you put your faith in Him and you trust Him and you believe in Him, He brings you into the family. He restores relationship with the Father who loves you so much. Because God the Father is always, always, always reaching out to us. And if you feel broken and you feel isolated and you don't have peace in your heart that you belong to God, He's reaching out to you, and He does it through Christ, who bridges that gap and reconciles you to the Father who loves you. And you can put your faith in Him this morning. And you can put your trust in Him this morning. And He will give you His peace. And He will give you hope for the future. And He will fill your life with joy. There may be some of you who are believers, and you're sitting here today, and you know that maybe you're not living up to that calling of being someone who reconciles others to God. And you might have friends that need you to speak into their lives, to encourage them, to point them to Christ. You may also have friends that you've drifted away. Maybe there's been conflict. And I think not only are we called to a ministry of reconciliation in the sense of bringing others back to God, we're called to a ministry of reconciliation with one another. And more than any time of the year, from Thanksgiving to Christmas and to New Year's, families feel the deep pain sometimes of conflict and separation. And maybe this is a season where you need to be a reconciler to someone in your family, to a friend in the church, to someone that you work with. Because the truth of this is that God reconciled us to Himself through Christ, but He's also given us a ministry of reconciliation so that we can help people come to Christ to be reconciled with God, and so that we might be reconciled with one another. Let's pray together. Lord God in heaven, from what seems like a very simple and maybe even strange action of a divine child, Your Son, Jesus Christ, being born as an infant, growing up in a Jewish home, entering into a Jewish world of people who You had called to be a light to the world. And You've shown us through Your Son Jesus how absolutely, fully, and wonderfully You love us. That You would give Your Son. That You would make a sacrifice. Jesus, thank You that You were willing to be the mediator. that you were willing to give your life to reconcile us to the Father who loves us. Lord, I pray if there's anywhere in this morning who doesn't have that peace in their heart and doesn't know that they belong to you and hasn't really come to grips with the fact that you love them so much that you gave them your Son as a Savior, help them in simple faith today to put their trust in you and to turn to you and to receive the gift of eternal life that you have promised to those who believe in Jesus. And Lord, for those of us who may have conflicts in our families, in our workplace, maybe in our church, maybe among neighbors and friends, help us to be the ones to take the step toward reconciliation, realizing that you have given us the ministry of reconciliation, just as you, Jesus, have reconciled us to the Father who loves us so much. Fill our hearts with joy this week. What an incredible thought that you loved us so much that you gave your Son Jesus for us. What an incredible thought that you have promised us eternal life and that we have that through your Son. Give us a good week. We know that you are with us. Keep us safe. May we see your hand at work in our world around us in these days to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.